When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, we are back, another episode of Simply Amazing. This is Tim Ryder. We are going to delve quickly into a terrific week for these Metropolitans, a sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates, the upstart Pittsburgh Pirates at that. This is a team that's been playing very, very well, talking about the Mets, of course. We talked about it in the last episode after just the most horrific start you could possibly think of. This team, through resiliency, through whatever's going on behind those doors, I know Mets manager Carlos Mendoza has got a lot of lauding in the media from his players about his even keel. I think David Stearns was talking to the media this week saying he was very impressed with how he's handled with, you know, the adversity that's been thrown his way. But really, this team is rolling. A sweep, four straight series wins. We saw Reed Garrett wearing a Mets t-shirt with a Grateful Dead bear on it this week. I mean, it was not a bad week, guys. Really, not a bad week. Of course, the sweep is always nice. We talked about the continued resiliency. The Mets came from behind early in all three wins this series. Really just struck back twice immediately and were able to turn it on in another game. And they're back at 500. They're about to head out west for a very good litmus test, or two, in fact, because the Giants aren't playing so bad either. But I guess we'll take these series as they come. As for right now, the Mets are just, they're playing fun baseball. They're playing inspired baseball. I know you see the vibe has shifted on social media, for the most part, at least. People are just excited to watch this team again. I know towards the end of last year, it became a chore to watch things fall apart, especially after such high hopes. This year, I mean, you go into it with lower expectations, and I guess it hits a little different, I guess. What else could you say? Absolutely hallmark performances from Harrison Bader and Tyrone Taylor this week. Bader is up to 288, 327, 365. He's hitting 4 for 12 with runners in scoring position, 3 runners, 3 RBI. Tyrone Taylor's hitting, he's 6 for 13 with runners in scoring position. 10 RBI just in runners, with runners in scoring position. And he's hitting 341, 378, 483. And he's pretty much shifted into a I don't want to say regular full-time role, but a regular part-time role. He's getting regular at-bats, and just, you could see he's responding well. Brett Beatty came out of Tuesday's game, lame hamstring, but initial reports have him avoiding an IL stint, which is awesome. He's really been getting it together lately. We talked about it in the last show. The power is not quite there yet, but the confidence is through the roof. He's hitting 305, 359, 373 so far, which, of course, outstanding compared to what we saw last year. The defense is head and shoulders, has taken a step forward. And just, again, the confidence. I think everything ties back into the confidence. And I know that not just here on the show, many people have said it. I think Beatty and I want to say Lindor said it too. Just, he's coming into this, you know, with a different mindset. And you could see it. It's evident in the production. Pete Alonso, he's just been on such a tear. He has 9 multi-hit games so far this season. He had 29 all of last season. So, I mean, he is coming out of the gates just very, very strong. He's got 6 home runs so far. He's hitting 261, 354, 551, 152 weighted runs created plus. Just playing like a man on fire early on. Playing like a man who wants that contract at the end of the year. And, you know, I hope he gets it. I really do. I assume the Mets are going to be heavily involved in those discussions. But this should be a very, very peculiar thing. All right, so the situation itself. Let's say that, let's say if they're looking for Judge money. Well, Judge is more of a complete player than Pete is. Judge is a premium position, is a higher average. You could say he's got more tools. Pete's got more flaws. Nothing against Pete. Pete's who he is. He's a premier power hitter. You know, when he's hot, he's your 260, 270 hitter who can put the ball out of the park whenever he wants. He's incredible. You know, to compare him to big money guys, I mean, you want to look at your Paul Goldschmidt's, your Matt Olson's, these are totally different, totally incomparable players besides outside the position. Their skill sets don't really match up. It should be very curious to see how Pete falls into this, his situation. Well, I guess how he sets himself up for what's coming. You know, teams are going to be looking into his, like I said earlier, his flaws. You know, you can't go into this and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he's got more home runs than anyone in the game, which is, of course, why I brought up Judge. But, you know, it's incomparable. There's no way to compare him. It should be very, very interesting. But, yeah, I hope Pete puts everything he has into this, and he makes it a very, very tough decision for teams to be like, oof, yeah, we know the risks, but when he's on, he's one of the best guys, he's one of the best hitters in the game. And that's not to say he's, of course, not one of the best average hitters, and he's going to strike out a bunch, but boy, he sure does do the trick, as we saw, you know, over the last 4 series. He's just, he can carry a team. And yeah, he'll have his down points, but man, when he's on, he's on fire. Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil's hitting 307, 407, 435 over his last 7 games, 28 plate appearances. Francisco Lindor is up to 250, 344, with a 286 slugging percentage over his last 7 games. Baby steps, folks. He's going to get there. You can see the frustration when he's hitting the ball on the button and it's not falling for hits. You can see it. He walks back to the dugout, and he knows it's coming. We know it's coming. And, you know, I think inch by inch, he's going to get there. But, yeah, you could see he's just he's working through it right now. He'll get there. Starling Marte's heating up. He's 9 for his last 32 with a double and 2 home runs. DJ Stewart's 4 for his last 11, 2 doubles and a home run. Francisco Alvarez is struggling. He's 4 for his last 22. Brandon Nimmo, 7 for his last 31, but he's only got 3 walks in his last 7 games. That's a little concerning to me. I'm, again, not concerned about Brandon Nimmo in the least bit, but, you know, just a slow start or a lull in production, whatever you want to call it. He'll be fine. You know, some up, some down. This team is getting there. It's a work in progress. I think that's been clearly evident so far that you know, there's going to be points of progress, is going to be points of, you know, there's going to be steps taken back. Just so happened the Mets began the season on a step back, and they've been playing some really, really fun, inspired baseball since, and it's cool to see. The pitching staff continues performing beyond anyone's expectations, and of course that's pretty cool. All winter, whenever the Mets made a, you know, the signings or the additions that they made, everyone's, oh, they're going for dumpster trash. They're going for the trash heap. You know, it hasn't really worked out that way. And yeah, it's still early, but there's a lot more optimism about what this group can do. What are they, 4 times through the rotation so far, I believe, or at least for the most part. And that's without Kodai Senga. You know, this week, especially, you had against the Pirates, you had exceptional outings from Jose Quintana, Luis Severino, who have both been, you know, really, really good. You know, Severino's been, I know we talked about it here. I think our season preview, a few of our picks said, oh, Severino is going to be a real standout. I think Severino, I was saying it earlier, I think Severino can be a solid two on this team. And, you know, he's had ace-level stuff in the past, so I'm not, I wouldn't put it past him to be that type of guy again. And so far, so good, man. Adrian Hauser took a little step back, a little step forward this week. He'll be back in action this weekend. I think he had five and change pitched, maybe 5 2/3 pitched with 2 earned runs. Got the job done. He was a little shaky early on, but really settled in. I hope Hauser can kind of hold up the back end. Excuse me, needed some water. So this is heading into Thursday's games. The Mets have a 3.15 pitching staff ERA. That's sixth in Major League Baseball. That's everybody. That's starters, relievers combined. The rotations has a 3.29 ERA. That's fifth in the majors. And again, that's without Kodai Senga. The bullpen has a 2.97 ERA, which is seventh in the majors. And again, heading into Thursday, I'm recording this 9:45 Thursday night, so we don't have updated stats just yet. But again, very, very encouraging stuff so far. The aforementioned Reed Garrett was terrific this week. He struck out 6 2 innings on Tuesday. He's got 17 strikeouts in 8 2/3 this season. I mean, what a story, man. He was in Texas for what would amount to like a very good career. Went to Detroit, went to Japan, went to Washington, to Baltimore, to Queens. And now he's just dealing. I mean, awesome, man. I don't know if it was his dedication or Stearns or someone in the Mets saying, oh, this guy's got something, or a combination of everything. But, man, what a story. Just keep that up, pal. Unbelievable. More on the bullpen. I mean, Edwin Diaz has been great as expected. 1.29 ERA over 7 appearances so far. He's got 10 strikeouts. Really looking confident up there. I think he has 3 walks, but whatever. He was always good for maybe a walk here or there. Once he really settles in, he's going to be lights out, just like he was. Adam Ottavino has struck out 12 over seven outings. With no walks and just 1 home run allowed, that's just outstanding. I think we're seeing the Adam Ottavino that we saw in 2022. And again, it's early, but very, very good to see early because you build off that stuff. Drew Smith, he's got 5 walks in 8 1/3, which is, that'll get you every time, and I hope he can get that figured out. 1 earned run with those 5 walks over 8 1/3. With 10 strikeouts. So he's getting himself into trouble, but he's finding his way out. I can deal with that. I wouldn't go high leverage at the current time. Let him get that command worked out. But I think that, Drew Smith's going to be just fine, or at least we hope. He's got the stuff, man. I love that fastball. The fastball still plays. He has to stay away from the middle of the plate. I like when he elevates his four-seam. When he elevates his four-seam, everything else works so well off of it. But if he leaves anything over the plate, and especially if that four-seam is not kept up so everything else can play down, hitters have a way of picking that stuff up. Brooks Raley has yet to allow a run yet in 6 1/3. Jorge Lopez allowed an earned run in his first outing of the season. He allowed an earned run on April 8th in Atlanta. Otherwise, has a clean bill. Absolutely strong. I think, again, something that we talked about during the brief couple of times we spoke in the offseason and probably in our season preview. This is one guy who I think when he's right, and this Mets organization seems to have a knack for getting things right with their pitchers these days, whether that's the organization, whether it's Hefner, something is working, and we love that. But if Lopez can really be a guy, it makes the length and strength of this bullpen just so much deeper. You got so many different options. You have so many guys you can go to. And the same can be said for Reed Garrett. I mean, this guy was a fringe roster guy. He was in the minors last week. He didn't make the team out of camp. And now he's got 17 strikeouts in 8 2/3 innings. I mean, you know, fairy tales won't last forever, but for right now, and if the Mets can continue to just keep on playing their hands right, you know, this is going to be a good thing for this team. Yeah, you have to be really excited about where this team is, but you also have to look ahead, and where they're going is not going to be a picnic whatsoever. You're going to face the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, by all accounts, are an absolute super team. Everything about this team is just, on paper, of course, elite. Everything. The starting lineup, the rotation, the bench, the bullpen, everything's terrific. Right now, I guess going into Thursday, they had a 10-9 record. So, not ideal, but over a long season, this is going to be a powerhouse. I'm going to start with who the Mets are facing on the pitching side first, because Yoshinobu Yamamoto, I guess a point of discussion among baseball fans. I know his first, of course, coming over from Japan with a 12-year, $325 million contract. The Mets were reported to be involved, but, I mean, come on, how likely was that, really? He gave up 5 earned runs in an inning versus San Diego to start the season in South Korea. Didn't allow an earned run over his next 2 starts. 3 earned runs versus San Diego on Friday. So I think he's getting used to things here. I think, of course, his high end is you know, beyond the roof. It's above the roof. It's probably in the clouds, man. He could be so good. His repertoire is just outstanding. Throws a 4-seam, throws a curve, throws a splitter, a cutter, and a slider, which barely he throws. I think they StatCast clocked 1 slider. I'm not sure if maybe that was picked up wrong. Maybe he did throw 1 slider. I don't know. His curve, he's got a 125 batting average against and a 41.4% whiff rate. That's on the curve. On the splitter, which, of course, I think we've all seen clips, whether it's Pitching Ninja or watching Quick Pitch in the mornings on MLB Network. The splitter's got a 188 batting average against and a 34.6 whiff rate. Just absolutely disgusting stuff. Yeah, I think he's going to be worth every penny once he finds his way, as long as he can stay healthy. He's going to be terrific. I'm very, very excited to see him on Friday night. Right now, I guess MLB has a couple of TBDs on the board for the Dodgers. On Fangraphs, they have Gavin Stone lined up to pitch Saturday. 25-year-old right-hander. He's only got like 11 major league outings, I believe. Went 5 with an earned run versus San Diego last Saturday. Hasn't allowed a home run yet, so good for him. Throws a 4-seam slider, change, and a cutter. I believe it's in that order as far as usage. You would have to assume he probably leans on the 4-seam slider and then probably plays the changeup and cutter off of those. 4-seam changeup, plays the slider and the cutter, which, of course, will go either inside to a lefty or inside to a righty, respectively. I guess intrigued to an extent. I'm hoping that the Mets, if Yamamoto is as advertised, if Yamamoto is as advertised on Friday and the Mets can't crack that code, then, I'm hoping that the Mets can get to Gavin Stone and at least get one under their belt. You know, you get to Yamamoto, that's nice, especially a team that's hot. Maybe they can, but I'm looking towards Gavin Stone on Saturday. If the Mets need to really pick up a win, that's the target. And then on Sunday, you got James Paxton, 35-year-old left-hander. Of course, most of his big years were with Seattle. He was there two stints, 2013 to 2019, and then he was back in 2017 before going to the Yanks. I'm sorry. 2013 to 2017 in Seattle, 2018, 2019 in New York, 2021 and 21 in Seattle, 22 in Boston. But from 2020 to 2023, he only had 8 outings total, bunch of injury issues, you know, just a really tough break because, you know, over from 2013 to 2019, he had a 3.50 ERA. So clearly, you know, a cut above the rest during his peak. And so far this season, I mean, over his first 3 starts, 16 innings pitched, 2.81 ERA. He still goes with his 4-seam changeup slider. You would have to imagine he's still crafty. You might have to imagine he's got a lot of experience under his belt. If he's feeling good, I wouldn't be surprised to see James Paxton be a very solid middle to the back end type of rotation guy. You know, how that all shakes out, we shall see. I think my intrigue certainly lies with Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I want to see, you know, firsthand what he's all about. I think most of us were up early to watch the Dodgers and the Padres' his first start. We only got an inning out of that. He was really, I think that was nerves because then he came back to the States and he was just terrific. Padres kind of touched him up his last time out, and I'm sure he's going to come back into this start adjusted and ready to go. So I think that's going to kind of set the tone, at least on the pitching side. How the Mets deal with this offense, that's going to be, well, where do we begin? As a team, the Dodgers are hitting .265, .338, .430. The batting average is 4th in the majors. The OBP is 5th. It's a .115 weighted runs created plus as a team. 26 home runs as a team. That's 2nd in the majors, only to Baltimore, who has 30. That is an extremely fun team, the O's, by the way. They've got 106 runs scored, the Dodgers. That's tied for 3rd in the majors with the Diamondbacks. The Padres lead the majors in runs scored right now, 109. Atlanta is right behind them at 108. Mookie Betts leading the way. He's got 100 plate appearances so far this season on the nose, or I guess heading into or through Thursday's games. He's hitting .369, .470, .667. He's got 6 home runs, 5 doubles, a triple, 22 runs scored, 4 stolen bases, a .211 weighted runs created plus, and 1.9 wins above replacement per Fangraphs. And that's through his first 100 plate appearances. So let's say he stays healthy, and let's say he gets, 650 plate appearances. You're looking at a 40 home run season, somewhere around 30 stolen bases, and around a little shy of 12 wins above replacement, which would be an all-time season. Mookie Betts, friends, I think we're looking at a generational-type player. I know he gets kind of under the radar for many years it was Trout, then it's Ohtani. Guys, Mookie Betts is one of the best baseball players that we're ever going to see. How he's somehow underappreciated is beyond me, but one of my favorites and another player I'm really looking forward to watching this weekend. Shohei Ohtani, who of course signed a 10-year, $700 million deal with the Dodgers heading into the season with a bunch of money deferred, of course, and had something about a scandal going around early in the year, which everyone seems to have forgotten. No, it's not that, you know, Shohei, I think it's mostly clear that he was in the dark on most of these things. I know, we've all read the same reports and stuff. Ipe, you know, stole from him. And it sucks. I think he's handled everything with grace. But any of the, he's the one, it's a big cover-up. Come on, guys. That's just silly. But, yeah, we're not going to get into all that. We're just going to talk about baseball here. Signed the big contract, of course, had the big scandal with the betting and stuff with his former interpreter, Ipe Muzuhara. And all he's done over his first 96 plate appearances is hit 360, 400, 640, four home runs, 10 doubles. 10 doubles in 96 plate appearances. That's ridiculous. A triple, 15 runs scored, and three stolen bases. So, of course, he can't pitch. He's still recovering from Tommy John, but boy, he sure can hit, man. That's incredible. 10 doubles in 96 plate appearances. Whew. Again, you could look up and down this lineup and be like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy this weekend. And it keeps on going. Freddie Freeman. The power hasn't really been there yet. He only has one home run and four doubles. But he's still hitting 276. OBP is pushing 400. He's at 398. You know where he's going to be by the end of the year. It's Freddie Freeman. Does it every year. First ballot Hall of Famer. You could write that on the wall. Teoscar Hernandez, which when the Giants grabbed him this offseason, it's like, oh, that's going to be a killer signing. Started off red hot. He's still absolutely, you know, holding his own. 275, 333, 513 over his first 87 plate appearances, five homers, four doubles. I mean, you can keep on looking down the line. And, oh, yeah, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Miguel Rojas, Kike Hernandez, everyman Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux, who's struggling a bit after missing all of 2023. I still do like him as a player, though. James Outman struggled, really, really struggled early on. He's starting to heat up. I think he's 280, 333, 560 over his last nine games. Nice hitter. When he gets hot, he gets hot. And he'll put a lot of power out, outlet during while he's hot. He'll just send a few out a week. I'm hoping that he got all that out of his system over the last 10 days or so. Andy Páez, very highly touted rookie, prospect, now a rookie, made his debut this week. I have to assume he'll be in the lineup a couple of times this weekend. Very curious to see what he's all about. I haven't followed the minors as closely as I wanted to in the last few months, couple of years, in fact. But everything I hear about Páez, and I hope I'm saying his name. I know it's not Pages. It's spelled Pages. It's not Pages. I believe it's Páez. But if I'm butchering that, I apologize. Just by all accounts, five tools written all over him. Can do it all. Fast as lightning. Has some pop to him. Can feel. I mean, I'm intrigued to see what he can do. I'm intrigued to see what these Mets pitchers can do against the Dodgers this weekend, man. So you have Sean Manaea. Really, he's been, by all accounts, really good so far. I think he had one bad outing. He's got 18 strikeouts, 7 walks over 3 starts. He's only allowed one home run. I think he's kind of the steady arm, steady hand. But no pun intended on steady arm. I'll leave it at steady hand. That, I guess, kind of this rotation can kind of anchor themselves around, whether it's him, Quintana, whatever. You know, you have inexperienced guys like Hauser and Buto, who are both coming up this weekend. I think that guys like Manaea and guys like Quintana and guys like Severino, who have had a number of years and a number of ups and downs in this league and probably a lot of experience and lessons to share, I think that, you know, the camaraderie that can be built within a rotation and the internal competition that can kind of build with that. And I think we're maybe even seeing that early where, oh, you know, last night's starter went out and did it. I'm up tonight. Let's go see if I can do it. Maybe we've seen some of that this year. And maybe that, you know, the same thing can be said about the resiliency. As the Mets continue to prove to themselves that, yeah, they're a team that can come back if they're down. They're a team that can stay in a game even when the scoreboard says they shouldn't and it's getting late. You know, they could still pick themselves up. And I think the more that they prove that to themselves, and they've done that a number of times over the, you know, the first few weeks of the season, the more they do it, the more confident they'll be in themselves to be able to continue doing it. And I think that's probably the meat and potatoes of everything. Throughout 6 months or 162 games, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs and lessons to be learned. And hey, man, if this is a team that can really respond to down times and do so in a tangible way, so it results in wins and it results in a change of vibes. And, you know, that's been most evident, I think, that, you know, this team is getting their asses kicked for the first week of the season. And, you know, nothing changed. Of course, internally, I'm sure a lot went on and a lot of guys, you got to keep your eye on the ball and, you know, stay focused here. And, you know, maybe it is the veterans in the room. Maybe it's just a bunch of professionals in the room. Maybe it's Mendoza, like we said earlier. Whatever it is, right now it's working, and it's pretty damn cool to see. And I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked. After Minaya, you got Jose Buto coming off a 6-inning, 9-strikeout gem, no earned runs on Sunday versus the Royals. He had a 56% whiff rate on his fastball and a 36% whiff rate on his changeup. His changeup had a max 37-inch vertical drop on Sunday. He was locked in. Just hope he can bring that to Dodger Stadium on Saturday. Adrian Hauser, he's been a little up and down. Again, I guess his last outing, he went 5.2 with 2 earned runs, and that's encouraging, especially he was a little shaky early. I would love to see him get his command in order. 9 strikeouts against 10 walks and 15 innings pitched. It's not ideal. It's probably not not sustainable. But again, with the progress that we've seen on across every other level, why wouldn't we expect it from Adrian Hauser too? Especially with what seems to be a very good clubhouse around him. Again, it's early. We don't want to start tooting horns. We don't want to start taking victory laps, as they say. But I am going to say that I think people should start eating some crow as far as what the expectations of this team were. When this team was going out and filling out their roster with, I don't want to say mid-level guys, but not as highly heralded guys, a lot of very loud pundits were being very loud in their assessment of the Mets. And, oh, they're not going anywhere. And, yeah, I'm talking pretty much specifically about John Harper at SNY. And nothing against John personally. But, you know, stirring the pot. And it's what some outlets choose to do, especially today. There's so much saturation in the market that you almost have to, you know, say, let's say the most outlandish shit we can and see how many people can argue about it. And that's what gets you the most clicks. It's disgusting, but I guess that's just today's media. You try not to be affected by it, but boy, if you just, you know, spend a couple of hours on Twitter during a ball game or during a day, and oh my gosh, whether it's the Parrots or whether it's, you know, who just like to repeat whatever someone else just said. And, you know, over the past couple of months, I've taken a step back. I'll do a lot more looking than I do posting. I'll post like in spurts, but I do a lot more observing than anything else. And boy, man, now that people have check marks, and of course, if you're not on Twitter, it's the blue check mark, and you can pay for that service now, which of course, the more interactions and the more impressions that you get when you post, you'll get some money from X, which is what it's called now. It's not called Twitter anymore. You get some money for that. So that's created an environment that's now, you know, people are being compensated for bad takes, and it's just a bad take factory now. Don't get me started. Look at how off track I've gone. And I've gone over 30 minutes. Andrew's going to be angry. He's got Knicks this weekend. Whew, Knicks fans, Islanders fans, Rangers fans. Is everybody fired up this week, man? This is going to be insanity. I was 10 going on 11 during the summer of 94 when you had the Knicks and the Rangers both going into their respective league finals. Of course, the Rangers were triumphant. The Knicks lost in 7 to the Houston Rockets. Knicks were up 3-2 against the Houston Rockets. And, don't get me started. You want to talk about my sports trauma? It could have started with that Knicks series against the Rockets. Anyway, exciting time in sports, in New York sports. Exciting time in sports. As soon as I turn this off, I'm turning NHL hockey playoffs back on because that, my friends, there's nothing above playoff hockey. I'm sorry. I know I'm a baseball fan. I know this is a baseball podcast. Nothing better than playoff hockey in the world. And on that note, let's hope for some more wins in L.A. You guys know the sign-off. It's LFGM. And we'll see you guys next time. Let's keep the good times rolling. Peace.